Before we come to our sermon, to our psalm, may I just mention that there are new books on the bookstall in the foyer, and there's a row of books just for a pound, just on that one shelf. Those below are a different price. Just mention two. There's an interesting book we picked up from the bookshop. It's called A Divine Comedy. I thought, well, that's a strange title. An interesting looking cover. What's it all about? Well, for a pound, you can find out. And we've got a couple of interesting little booklets by Roger Carswell. Blessed are the dead who die in the Lord. I'm sure, I've not read it, but I'm sure it'll be very good knowing Roger Carswell. And there are other books, there's some biographies, No Hiding Place, Corrie Ten Boom, story of a missionary in Congo, I think it was. And there's a few children's books too. So that's the sales pitch. Now we come to what I'm really here for, and that's to bring you the Word of God from Psalm 68. We're going to turn to Psalm 68. So we were thinking this morning about the forgiving God from the Lord's Prayer. And this evening we are thinking about the caring God from this Psalm 68. So, are you anxious? Are you going through a difficult time in your life? Do you feel that your burdens are too heavy to bear? I can't go on. I can't take another day. Perhaps you're thinking, or you have felt like that at times. Well, here's a text for you. Text for me too. Psalm 68 and verse 19. Blessed be the Lord who daily bears us up. God is our salvation. He daily bears us up. The Amplified Bible reads, the Lord bears our burdens. So he is the God who cares. There are four questions, and I promise I'll be brief on the last one. So four questions, brief on the last one. The first one is, who cares? Who cares? Well, we're told. In verse 19, we read, blessed be the Lord. The Lord. That means the sovereign ruler of the universe. The God who controls, plans everything in all of the world and everything in our lives. And he is the Lord who cares for you and for me. Now, you may know that the New Old Testament was written originally in Hebrew, some of it in Aramaic. And the scholars tell us that the Hebrew here could be translated my Lord, rather than the Lord, but my Lord. That makes it all so personal, doesn't he? He's my Lord. And if he's my Lord, then he is the Lord, the sovereign ruler who cares for me, plans all things wisely and lovingly in my life. But second, who cares? He is God. In verse 20, our God is a God of salvation, and to God, in capitals, to God. The Hebrew word is in other places in this psalm, the Lord in capitals. God, the Lord. It's the same Hebrew word. And what is that telling us? Well, it's taking us back to Exodus 3 and God speaking to Moses at the burning bush. God says, Moses, you are to go and tell Pharaoh to let my people go. Moses says, well, who shall I say has sent me? I am that I am. God, the Lord, Jehovah. Modern scholars like to pronounce it Yahweh. We're not too sure whether it's Jehovah, Yahweh, it doesn't really matter. He's the mighty God, the God of the covenant, the God who came to Moses, the God who saw the groaning of his people in their slavery. We read in Exodus 3 that God says, I have seen their affliction. Heard their cry. I know their sufferings. I have come down to deliver. So the God who cares, yes, he's in heaven. Yes, but he sees the anguish and grief of the Israelites in Egypt. And he sees your grief, your sorrow, your pain. He sees all the things that are making up your life from day to day. The things that seem unbearable. He says, I am the God who cares. I am the God who will bear those burdens with you. I will lift them and I will be with you. In this chapter, we read in verses 9 to 10 of how God guided and provided his people in the wilderness. You know from the Exodus that he gave them manna and the quails. And there was manna every day. God was caring for his people. And he is this great God who cares for you, cares for me. He cared for his people so much that he says, I've come down to deliver. He sent Moses to be the deliverer of his people. And he cares for you too. He is the Lord, the sovereign ruler. And he is God, Jehovah, Yahweh, the great God of the covenant, the God who from all eternity has planned your salvation, and the God from all eternity has planned all the things that will happen between your birth and your death. This is the God who cares for you. And also we read that he is our salvation, verse 20. Our God is a God of salvation. In verse 19, God is our salvation. Verse 20, our God is a God of salvation. He's the God of salvation. The word means deliverance. The deliverance of God's people from Egyptian bondage, bringing them out of that land through the wilderness into the promised land. It's a picture of God bringing us out of sin, delivering us from the power of Satan, delivering us from the guilt and power of sin, the God of salvation, the God of deliverance. This God can deliver you. This God will be with you when the burdens seem almost too great to bear. And the God who saved your soul by Christ dying on the cross is the God who cares for your body and cares for you in all of the situations that you face. So he is the Lord. He is God. He is our salvation. But also, he is our shepherd. Now, did you notice in verse 10? In verse 10, we read in verse 10, your flock found a dwelling in it. Talking about the wilderness and so on, the promised land. Your flock. If there's a flock, there must be a shepherd. And many times in the Old Testament, God speaks of himself as the shepherd of his people. Of course, the most famous example of that is Psalm 23. The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. I shall not lack anything. And he's the God who provides, the God who is with us. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, thou art with me. And thy rod and thy staff, they shall comfort me. He's the God who's with us. When we're going through the dark, deep valleys, the shadow of death there means the valley of deep gloom. It means any kind of time when we're feeling grief and pain and burdens weighing us down, anxieties and cares. David says, thou art with me. You are with me. You're there with me in the dark gloom. You're leading me as a shepherd, and you will bring me through the valley and into peace and into your presence ultimately. The shepherd who cares for us. In verses 5 and 6, we read that this shepherd cares for the fatherless, the orphans, and for the widows. And many times in the scriptures, this theme of God caring for the fatherless and the widows occurs. He cares for the homeless. He puts the solitary into homes. And he cares for the prisoners, it says in those verses. So he cares for those who are oppressed, those who are destitute, those who feel lonely, those who feel alone, those who feel no one cares for us, no one understands us. Here I am in this situation, and nobody seems to understand me, and nobody seems to care for me. And God says, look, look, I care. I will lift you up. I will bear your burdens. I understand. I am there. I am the God who cares for you. Isn't it wonderful that this great God, the almighty, awesome God, who is absolutely holy, more holy than we can ever imagine, says, I care for you as the Lord, as God Yahweh, as the your salvation, your Savior, as your shepherd. I care for you. And we could go on. In other places are so many aspects, attributes of God, and they're all telling us that there is a God who cares, a personal God who cares for you in a very personal way. And this God leads you and guides you and is watching over you through all of your life. Thinking about a shepherd bearing his sheep, Isaiah 40 comes to our minds. Wonderful scripture, Isaiah 40. He will tend his flock like a shepherd. He will gather the lambs in his arms. The lambs, the most vulnerable of the flock. He will gather the lambs in his arms. He will carry them in his bosom. His heart, his bosom, near to his heart, the sheep are loved, and he's hugging them to himself, and gently lead those who are with young. He's a gentle shepherd, caring for all of us, caring especially for those who are vulnerable and feel helpless and feel no one cares and no one understands. Have we not proved that in our lives if we're Christians? Yes, you could look back to experiences in your life and say, yes, yes, I proved that God is my Savior, my Shepherd. I proved that he was with me. I proved that he never leaves nor forsakes us. I proved that he's the God who has lifted my burdens time and time again. And with the psalmist, we want to say, blessed be the Lord. It's a doxology. Blessed be the Lord. We praise him for all that he has done, all of what we've experienced of his care, tender care in our lives. So the Lord our God, who is our salvation and our shepherd, took the burden of our sins at Calvary. He daily takes the burden of our sorrows. If he took our sins to Calvary, will he not daily take our burdens? Will he not daily care for us? If he cared enough for us to give his own son to die such an agonizing, painful death on the cross, will he not, therefore, in his tenderness, bear us in our sorrows and bear us up? Yes, he will. Indeed, he will. So the first question, who cares? The Lord, God, our salvation, our shepherd. But where is the God who cares? Where is he? Where is he? Well, we find that in our passage and verse 18. You ascended on high, leading a host of captives in your train and receiving gifts among men, even among the rebellious, that the Lord God may dwell there. The background here is in 2 Samuel 6. David brought the Ark of the Covenant back to Jerusalem, up to Jerusalem. Jerusalem was on a hill, so you ascended up on high. You brought the Ark, the symbol of God's presence, a small box made of acacia wood, covered over with gold, and the lid of it was the mercy seat where God offerings were made and God forgave his people. It was a symbol of God's presence. But Paul in Ephesians picks up this verse, you ascended on high, leading a host of captives in your train. And he says, this is about Jesus Christ, who after his death on the cross ascended into heaven. And there he is in heaven, exalted high, glorious in the Father's presence. And there from that throne, he gives gifts to men. He poured out his Holy Spirit. And with the Holy Spirit came gifts that he gave to his people to serve him in this world, to take his message to men and women lost in their sins. He ascended on high. And it's a picture of the Roman emperor. Here comes the emperor in his chariot. And dragging behind the chariot are the prisoners he's taken. And Christ is, as it were, dragging Satan along. He brings the captives, those he's released from Satan's power. That's the kind of background to this. He ascended on high. So the God who cares for you, his son cares for you too. And they are enthroned on high. Remember Philippians 2, that the Savior was obedient to death, even the death of a cross. Therefore, God has highly exalted him and given him a name above every name, that at the name of Jesus, every knee shall bow. He is glorious. He is exalted. That means that the God who is ascended on high with his son, it means there is no problem too great for him to deal with. It means there is no burden too heavy for him to lift. It may be crushing you down. You may be overwhelmed at times with sorrow, with grief, with pain. And you think, I can't go on. There doesn't seem to be any solution. There doesn't seem to be any end. There doesn't seem to be any way out of the darkness, out of the valley. But God is almighty. God can deal with your situation. He can turn things around. There is no problem. There is no burden too great for God to deal with. There isn't any situation that puzzles God. We have situations in our lives, don't we? I don't know what to do. I don't know where to turn. Who can I go to for advice? What can I do? What decision must I make? And we're confused. And we're perplexed. And we need some guidance. We need some wisdom. But you can never bring a situation to God. He says, oh dear, I don't know what to do about that one. I haven't come across that before. No, God, there's no situation that God doesn't know and hasn't seen before. And he's the God who planned these things anyway. So the fact that he's ascended is a great encouragement to us. If he's ascended, then he's glorious, he's in heaven, he's mighty, and he can deal with my situation, he can lift my burdens, he can bring me comfort and strength to go on in every situation, in every circumstance. He's a God who cares. He's your God. Is he your God? If you're a Christian, yes. If you trusted God for salvation, if you've come to God through Jesus Christ, then he is your God, and he is the God who cares for you. Oh, how can unbelievers cope in this world without a God to care for them? When they lose someone they love, when the world is falling apart, when they're perplexed and in distress, how can they cope without our God? Oh, it's a wonderful privilege to have a God who cares for us, and a God who's with us, and a God who understands, a God who's wisdom is infinite, whose power is limitless, a God who knows, a God who cares, the God who is ascended on high. So who cares? The Lord, God, Jehovah, our salvation, our shepherd. Where is the God who cares? He's ascended on high. But there's another question. When does God care? When does God care? You say, well, where's that in the text? Well, it quite clearly and simply is there. When does God care? We read in our text, he cares for us every day. Verse 19, blessed be the Lord who daily bears us up. Daily bears us up. Just as we were thinking in the Lord's Prayer this morning, we pray daily for God's, give us bread, provision, what we need. And we pray daily, forgive us our debts, our sins. And here the psalmist says that the Lord who daily bears us up, daily, every day, whatever our situation. And again, the Amplified Bible, which I find very helpful, reads like this, that he carries us day by day. He lifts us up, he carries us day by day. Maybe it's the picture, we can bring an illustration here, of a mother. And here's a mother with a newborn baby or a little toddler. Every day she's got the baby in her arms. The baby is weak and the baby's helpless. But mummy's there and her arms are around the little baby. Or the little toddler runs to mum crying, and she lifts him up and gives him a hug, gives him a kiss, makes it better. You know what that's about, don't you, mothers? Fathers. Fathers as well. Pick up their children and hug them and love them with such an intense love. If that's a picture of human love, a human love of a father, mother, how much more is the love of God for us, his children? If that's how a human mother, father cares, how much more does the divine father, the mighty, caring divine father, how much more does he care for you? Every day, in every situation, every day, all through the day, God cares for us. So things may happen unexpectedly in our lives. Phone call may change our lives. Phone call brings bad news. Something happens that's devastating. Maybe you're stuck here with some incurable illness. Perhaps you're told that your illness is terminal. You didn't expect that, and it shattered you. But just remember, God knew that that was going to happen, and God bears us up every day, the good days, but on the bad days, on the worst days of our lives, when everything's going wrong, our world is falling apart, on those days especially, the Lord bears us up. He carries us day by day. Remember Psalm 121. God neither slumbers nor sleeps. Because we're human, in human bodies, we get weary, we get tired, we get to the end of the day and we're ready for our bed. Sometimes we can get up in the morning and still feel tired. We feel exhausted. Things are just getting too much. We can't cope. We've had enough. But God never sleeps. He never needs to sleep. Because he's God, he does not get weary. And he doesn't get old like we do. And our bodies start to wear out. Bits of the body don't work like they did once. The hearing starts playing up, the eyes. Well, I won't go into all the gruesome details, you know as well as I do, the bits of your body that don't work right. Well, how did I get into that? Yes, God is so perfect. He never has a body that wears out, and he never needs to sleep. He's never tired. He's never ill. God can never die. We will die one day, yes, and those we love die. But here is a God from everlasting to everlasting. Never asleep. Nothing takes him by surprise. Every day, all day, any day, especially the worst days, he's there to lift you up. He's there to carry us day by day. And as we wake every day, so God renews his mercies. You know Lamentations chapter 3. It's about the only verse in Lamentations that ever gets preached on. And we know it. It's in our hymn, Great is Thy Faithfulness. Where is it? There it is. The steadfast love of the Lord in capitals, Jehovah, Yahweh, never ceases. His mercies never come to an end. They are new every morning. Great is your faithfulness. His steadfast love. His love that never, never, never changes. Never ceases. His mercies never come to an end. People can show compassion. And then after a while they get a bit tired of helping you. Compassion wears out. But God's compassion is never, never ending. And so, on those difficult days, we can come to God, the God who cares, the God who loves us, the God who has given his Son to die for us. Another great scripture is Hebrews 4, isn't it? Let us then, because we have a great high priest in heaven who died for us, let us then, with confidence, draw near to the throne of grace. He's a God on a throne, but he's a God of grace, full of compassion, full of mercy. And he goes on, let us draw near to the throne of grace, that we may receive mercy and find grace to help in time of need. Mercy and grace. God's compassion. God's forgiveness. God's love. God's heart coming out to us in time of need. That's when we need God to care for us in time of need. God gives you grace as you need it, day by day. He doesn't say, look, here's a cupboard full of grace. You just take a bit when you need it. Like you go to the supermarket maybe once a week, stock up for the week. There's the fridge, cupboards where you keep the food and so on, full. And you just take out what you need when you need to cook a meal. I don't go do any cooking, but Wendy's brilliant at that. But God doesn't say there's a cupboard full of grace. You take bits when you need it. He says, no, no, today, when you need my help, I'm there. Every day, all day, in your time of need. So when does God care every day? But also, he cares for us on the last day of our lives on earth. That's in verse 20. Our God is a God of salvation, and to God the Lord belong deliverances from death. So he cares for you every day, and he will care for you on your last day. There's going to come a day, isn't there? Unless the Lord comes, when there'll be our last day, we'll breathe our last breath. We may not be conscious at the moment we pass from time to eternity. On the other hand, we might be. But he talks about deliverances, salvation from death. When you die, your body will rest in the grave. But your soul will be immediately in the presence of God, absent from the body, present with the Lord. Paul says to the Philippians, for me to live is Christ, to die is gain. But there's coming a day when the Savior comes. There'll be the sound of the trumpet, and he will bring up our bodies from the grave. Deliverance from death, even our bodies brought from their graves. And we'll be given a new resurrection, glorious body to fit us to live forever in heaven. That's what the psalmist is anticipating here. To God the Lord belong deliverances from death. So death is not the final victor. God is. The God who cares for you, cares for your body as it's resting in the grave. And he cares for your soul in heaven. And he will bring the two together on that great final day when the Saviour comes, you'll have a sinless soul, a new body, and we will live on a new earth forever with Father, Son, Holy Spirit, with all of the thousands of angels. He talks about the chariots of God are twice, 10,000, thousands upon thousands, that's angels, and with the thousands and thousands of the elect of God saved by the precious blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. Are you looking forward to that day? I fear that we are so preoccupied with this life and all of its cares and anxieties and making a living and paying the bills and caring for the children and loving our husbands and wives, all very good, all very important. But maybe we don't think enough of the coming of the Saviour, and we don't think enough of that day when he will give us a new body with a sinless soul. Do we think enough about these things? I think as I'm getting older, I don't think I'm old, but I'm moving in that direction, I suppose. But I found I think about these things more. I've realised that I've had most of my life, yet past 70, you've definitely had most of your life. I'm not going to live another 70 plus years, am I? That day when I leave this world is getting closer. Only God knows when that is. Shouldn't I be longing for the Saviour? Paul says in 2 Corinthians 5, I groan to put on my new resurrection body. I think we need more of that as Christians. Look at the text again in verse 20. Why is deliverances in the plural? Why not simply he brings deliverance from death? Why deliverances in the plural? There must be a reason, surely. Because the threat of death, time of death, comes in a variety of ways. But God can easily deliver us. When and how we die is planned by God. It's been planned from all eternity by God. Maybe we worry. Sometimes I do. If I'm getting older, will I lose my faculties? Will I get so weak and helpless? Will I lose my mind? Sometimes I worry about those things. But then I have to stop and think, well, just a moment. You believe in the providence of God, care of God, don't you? Don't you believe that God has predestined all things? Yes, I do. Well, then you better start putting that theology into practice. You better start trusting God. You better start remembering that God has planned all things. And he knows all of the circumstances of your death. And when the time comes, he will give you his grace. He will give you dying grace. He will be with you in your time of need, in your dying moment and time, whatever circumstances God will allow. So death is like a door. Jesus says in Revelation 1:18, behold, I died, and behold, I am alive forevermore, and I have the keys of death and Hades, the grave. The keys of death are in God's hands. The key to heaven is in God's hands. The key to the grave is in God's hands. And he opens heaven's door to all who trust him alone for the pardon of sins. If you want God to open heaven's door to you, then you've got to trust in Jesus Christ and Jesus Christ alone. Not in who you are, not in your merits, not in your achievements. Simply trust in Jesus Christ and in him alone. Here's your homework. Go and read 1 Corinthians 15. What a wonderful chapter on the resurrection. Remember Revelation 21. God will wipe away every tear from their eyes. So who cares? The Lord God Jehovah, our salvation, our shepherd. Where is the God who cares? Ascended up on high. When does God care? Every day. And when you get to your last day. Question 4. I promised it would be brief, and it will. But just two parts to the answer. What should you do? If you know God cares for you, come to him with all of your burdens because he cares for you. Peter says, casting all your care upon him, for he cares for you. 1 Peter chapter 5. Come. And the second thing is praise. It's a doxology. Blessed be the Lord, who daily bears us up. God is our salvation. Thank him that he is a caring God. Though he's so almighty, so glorious and powerful, yet he is a tender shepherd who cares for you and will care for you all through this life and will care for you and be your shepherd. Even in heaven, says Revelation, he will lead you to the fountains of living waters and so on at the end of Revelation chapter 7. John Newton wrote, as you probably know, Amazing Grace, how sweet the sound, that saved a wretch like me. He was a slave trader. He wanted to kill the captain on the slave ship when he was himself a slave. And he preached in only then in London, pastor. And when he was old, he was very frail. He was losing his memory. And one day a minister, a pastor from William Jay from Bath, went to see him in London. And John Newton said, "My memory is nearly gone, but I remember two things, that I am a great sinner and that Christ is a great Saviour. I remember two things, that I am a great sinner and that Christ is a great Saviour." It's a wonderful text, isn't it? Blessed be the Lord who daily bears us up. God is our salvation. Let that encourage you and comfort you through this week.